Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Currys, please welcome Galen Curry. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
You're just reminiscing about the last time we all hung together.
That's right. Yeah, the crazy weather events at Texified in what year? That wasn't this past year, but the year before that, right?
Is
that
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had never been out. Had you ever found yourself in a situation like that? Like a tornado,
no.
Like survival? Same.
No, I grew up in upstate New York, so we had blizzards and things, but not really tornadoes. That was the first, my first time. Is that kind of the Great Plains? Probably not. Maybe Southern Great Plains. Yeah, I haven't. I it was hard to know how, in the moment also how seriously to take it because some people were in 30
mode. That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah, and then some people, the people who seemed like they were from there and knew what was going on, seemed actually freaked out, which was not a good sign.
No.
And two of those party modes are on with you and me, Galen.
Oh, really? Are they?
We were like,
what
I mean, if this is it,
of?
We're going to drink.
We were on the couch ripping fireball shots.
We had a whole. What was it?
I've actually had a sip of that. I have a video from when we were all. You mean when we were all sequestered in the house? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have a video of just everyone in there because it was such a weird feeling.
Yeah.
And I had Fireball when I was in there. I may have taken it from one of your hands.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, I did
really
not.
Aim his hands because I wouldn't have given it up so easily.
I don't like that. I guess like I have like an optimistic frame of mind. So I was just of the, oh, this happens all the time down here.
Yeah.
Like,
sure, it's
status
fine.
Like, everything's
sure,
going
to
be fine.
They know what to do.
Yeah.
But
this
you're right about.
Before.
So you're right about,
bad.
Yeah, you're right about like the people that were from there were the one, now that I think about it, the people that are from there were totally freaked out. And that should have been my clue to also probably be freaked out.
I was crouched in the hallway, my wife and I, under the frame with people who were like, we grew up, this is where you gotta be. And I'm like, meanwhile, my kids are calling me because it's showing up on their iPads because it's the same Apple ecosystem, thanks a lot.
Right.
Like, are you okay?
Oh, I see the alerts from your phone are showing up on the iPad at your house. Where are you guys all from?
Philly. So
Philly.
We're with you.
Okay.
We got blizzards, but none of that.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I was kind of excited.
I mean, it was an exciting time with having no pressure to take care of anyone except for yourself. And, you know, and the novelty of it, it was a bit exciting, but I feel like that maybe that's insensitive to say it, but I also felt it.
I remember sitting there on the sofa and I turned to Eamon and like, I think this is the only serious moment that I had was, so Eamon by profession is an engineer.
Okay.
And I said to him, I said, so, and I'm looking at Todd and Leah's fireplace, right? It's massive and it's, you know, it's pretty sound. So I was like, Eamon, like, where, like, if this, like, actually happens, right? If this thing goes through with it, like, where do you, like, what, are we good here? Like, what's going on? I don't remember what he said, but.
I said, yeah, we're going right over to that fireplace.
Yeah, that's it.
You never hear Santa Claus complaining about tornadoes, that's for sure.
Nope.
He knows where to be.
Dude, so the Currys are, like, a staple with Rock by the Sea. You guys have been there a number of times, multiple times.
Yeah, we've missed a couple years here and there, but mostly we've been there since, I think, 2015. So,
wow.
Yeah, God, is that 10 years ago?
it hurts. Yeah, it hurts my liver.
Here and there, but yeah. Some probably done it 8 or 9 times. Yeah, it's awesome. It was intimidating at first. I remember being intimidated at first because there's so many good musicians, and we weren't just starting as a band, but it was early days. It felt like early days still. But yeah, now it's just feels like a big family reunion. It's a good time.
How did that relationship come to be?
We, my cousins, Tommy and Jimmy, who are in the band with me, are from Florida originally. So we end up, especially back then, we'd play mostly in Florida. Mm. And we were playing at this tiny place called, a tiny town called Carabel, which features the world's smallest police station, which is just a phone booth on the street. What? And they had this tiny little listening room, art studio kind of vibe. And we were playing a show there, and Beth was in attendance. I don't remember how Beth had heard, Beth Gosnell of Rock by the Sea, obviously. I don't know how Beth. She had heard of us, but someone had told her about us, and she came to the show because at that time they were holding the event on St. George Island, which is only a short drive from Caribou. And she liked it. She liked the show. So she approached me about it, and we made it happen that year. And we showed up, and Tommy and Jimmy had to go to a wedding that year. So we only played one set, like on Thursday night. And then I just hung out for the rest of the weekend, and they left. And so I was just kind of hanging out there and got to witness it kind of from an artist's perspective, but also just from an attendee perspective. And it was a good time, and it was really fun. And they've invited us back pretty much every year. And so we come back, and it's, like I said, it feels like a family reunion. It's always fun.
I mean, where else do you get to listen to amazing music, intermingle with like-minded individuals, both artist and fan, and get to raise money for children's pediatric cancer research, and drink, you know, if that's your forte, if you drink, whatever, but if not, you still get to donate. Cheers. So cheers. I mean,
yeah, it's a unique situation, and they've done such a good job setting it up, and the people, they've done a good job of growing it while at the same time retaining the kind of intimate family feel. And also people who keep coming back year after year, they get it. They understand. They're either into the music, or they understand it's for a good cause, and they just kind of feel like part of the group, you know? And people who don't get that, they come for a year and maybe they don't come back, you know? And so it's like the core group that's always there is, it's a great group of people.
You know, it's amazing to see, and I had mentioned this in another podcast, but the Currys were also on the Rock Boat at one point, right? So it's neat to see how, and you can probably see some of the parallels too with that community and Rock by the Sea community, and how like they're almost kind of interwoven to a point. But it's,
I think the reason we were on the Rock Boat was Rock by the Sea, honestly, because we had applied to the Kayamo crew. How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, that's
Kayamo?
It.
Kayamo?
Kayamo. Sure.
Okay, you know. Great. we had applied to the sound check for that, and also the sound check for the Rock Boat a couple times, just on a whim without really knowing much about it. And didn't make any, you know, didn't make any progress on it. But then after Rock by the Sea kind of happened, completely unrelated to that, we started meeting all these people who were also Rock Boaters, or who were also involved with the six-man community in some way or another. And suddenly we knew all these people, and we had become friends with all these people, and we did the sound check again, and we made it on through that. So, I mean, it's basically, you can draw a straight line from meeting Beth, mere blocks from the smallest police station in the world, to our time on the Rock Boat, and to this whole life with Rock by the Sea, which has been only a boon for us, because it extends beyond that. We see these people, a lot of the people, many times over the course of the year when we're on tour, because, you know, people are coming from all over the place. It's similar to the Rock Boat. So, you know, you show up in DC and there's a bunch of DC Rock by the Sea people. You show up in, you know, other cities. I can't think of a single other city at the moment, but I'm sure they're out there.
There's a lot of cities out there.
Yeah, you know? They're out there.
You know, DC crowd's got a big one, though.
They do.
They got a big one.
It's a real contingent there, for sure.
So, you know, this is a neat introspect, but like, so we've had a number of artists on that are going to be at Rock by the Sea, but I think that you guys have been there just about as many times as, or more than most bands that we've interviewed, you know, as a professional looking at a festival, right? You know, because you're not going to go to a festival year after year if it's crappy, right? It's dumb. It's pointless from a business standpoint. And, you know, from your first festival at Rock by the Sea to your last one that you guys went to.
Yeah.
What have you seen the biggest areas of growth be for Rock by the Sea?
Well, I feel like they've, the sound situation is honed in, has been honed in. They have Stubbs. I don't know if you guys, do you guys know Stubbs?
Yeah, Stubbs. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He's
That's a beer company. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Never
mind. You remember Stubbs from Texified?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was at Texified. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's also the barbecue. They have the Stubbs barbecue is also a thing, I think, in Austin, right? But he's kind of the chief of the sound now. And he does a great, I don't know how he does it exactly. He tirelessly works for the whole weekend. It's always fun hanging out with him on the Sunday because he can finally lay back and relax because he's been, everyone else is having a good time all around him. And he's just like, he has to be laser focused the whole time. That's a big one. And I think Beth does a good job of keeping old favorites and also mixing in new people as well that she meets just along the way or are recommended to her. And I think that's a tough thing for a festival to do because to know what that mix should be, you know?
Yeah.
How much do you want to, this band did well last year and people liked them. So do we bring them back every year? But also sometimes that's the case. Sometimes you want to bring new blood in so it doesn't just feel like the same thing every time.
Yeah.
And the venues, I know the venues switched many times. We were only there in the Harry A's era and the Harry era. And then also, this Okaloosa Island one. And both of those, they kind of have similar feels in a way, in terms of kind of having a half outdoor, half indoor area. And, but yeah, the venues work out great.
Cool.
The consistency of it, I think, might actually be the biggest boon to it because you know you're going to have a good time and you know you recognize some people. There are going to be some new people, like I said. And
Yeah. I mean, like there's value in a safe community, right? So people are going to be like, this is good. We know what we're getting into. There's a couple of new bands. Wonderful. Some of the bands that we love that we see throughout the year, like you had mentioned, are going to be there and slowly. And I'd have to agree. I mean, obviously we're not, you know, festival creators, but I think that's one of the things that me, Mark, and Amy can agree upon, whether it's from the three festivals that we do each year is integrating new music into a long lasting festival. It's always a conundrum for either the owner or the corporation. How do we make it better without pissing everybody off?
Totally. It's kind of like, it feels like movies now. Whenever a movie comes out, it's either a sequel or a reboot or a remake for that exact reason, right? Because they're making another Ninja Turtles movie. Cool. I loved the Ninja Turtles when I was growing up. I'm definitely going to go see that. It doesn't even really matter if it's good or not. It's, you know, you're going to get enough bodies in those seats, you know, and it's the same kind of thing. But at the same time, then you're not really doing anything new, and there needs to be room for that as well. And that's, you know, on a microscopic scale, it's the same for Rock by the Sea, I suppose.
And how do the Currys get to this festival? Do you guys like, I think you said some are in Florida already.
They're from Florida originally. We all live in Virginia these days.
Oh, okay. It's for lovers.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
So you guys fly down or pack up a van?
Nah, we'll drive. We have a little tour built around it. That's the end. We're leaving in a few days for our tour and we'll be gone until then. Basically, that's the Rock by the Sea will be the end of the tour for us.
Oh, yeah, I saw you're playing at the Florida Americana Music Festival and you know, jumping around. So that's
busy. This run will all be in Florida, which will be good. So it won't be too much. Once we're down there, it won't be too much driving. But
is it, you know, because you've been there so many times and you guys obviously do a kick-ass job being there at Rock by the Sea and you're part of the community. When you're on a tour like that, is it something to the effect of like, all right, we're going to be playing here, and then we get to play at Rock by the Sea? Like, is it kind of like a relief? Like, we get to play, but like, it's Rock by the Sea. Like, it's like, we got it.
Yeah, I mean, my liver probably doesn't feel like it's a relief.
That's all right. But we're in the same category, buddy.
Yeah, but psychologically it is because it feels like a safe place, you know? I mean, we're going to be – you only play a couple sets, but so you're there, but you're there the whole weekend, or, you know, you can be, and we're planning on that this time around. So there's a lot of hang time and there's a lot of chilling, and I don't know, it doesn't, you don't feel like you have to prove anything to anyone. So you're looser and you're there and you're just having a good time. And that ends up being a better product anyway, I find, you know, when you're not, you know, being super tight about it. And, and it's fun for us. We've befriended a lot of these bands now, a lot of them that have come back or, you know, been back every once in a while, or we saw on the, you know, met on the Rock Boat or in other festivals around the country, and we'll jam with some of them. And it's just, it's a good time. You know, it feels like a reunion, as I think I've repeated 4 times already. And I'm sorry. About that.
I really love how close the venue is to the sleeping quarters.
Oh my
That's
God.
Important to me.
I sent, I've been doing some recon today, and, I went to Google Images and did the satellite shot of the resort and the lazy river. And then I was zooming in. I was showing my nieces and nephews. I'm like, see the inner tubes? Well, I don't even have to bring my own inner tube. There's one already there.
That's right.
And they're like, can we come? And I was like, no.
I love a good lazy river, man. Oh,
it's good. And it's pretty fun on the Sunday or historic. It's only happened there twice at this venue, but the past couple of years on the Sunday, it's pretty much a Rock by the Sea takeover. After the brunch, we do the brunch for the past bunch of years, we've done the brunch, and I think we'll do it again this year. And then afterwards, everyone hits the lazy river, and it's fun. And yes, the walking to the sleeping quarters is huge. It's huge. And you don't even have to wait in line for the bathroom in the venue. If you don't want, just go to your room.
The lazy river.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing. It's at Harry A's, it felt more like a beach vacation, you know, so you were right on this island and the beach was there, and that was nice, but it was hard to get there and from an airport and, or to drive there, just far away from everything. And everyone was staying in beach houses. So you had to drive to the venue or walk a few miles. This is much more convenient.
Super excited.
You guys are going to be able to make it.
Yeah. We will all be there.
All right.
We're hopping in a van that, Eamon's brother, Danny,
our bodyguard.
So I'm big. Danny's definitely our bodyguard.
My brother is big.
Is he coming?
Yes.
Oh, nice. There'll be 4 of you in the van.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Are you driving down from Philly?
We are.
Yeah. All
right. We're going to be posting some shorts and some videos on the way down about our journey to Rock by the Sea, to keep all the listeners hyped and encouraged to, you know, to, if they can't make it, to at least buy tickets or donate to rockbythesea.org.
Cool. Yeah, it's a great cause.
It's amazing, right? Like when you guys started off in your music journey, and I've been asking everybody that's, you know, coming on for Rock by the Sea, you know, when you started your music journey, did you ever think that you'd be going back to back to a music festival that's geared towards raising money for pediatric cancer?
No, I did not think that specifically. No, definitely not. But it's pretty specific. You know, it feels a lot of being in a band, something that I've had this conversation with other musicians as well. It's something that you struggle with sometimes is kind of the selfishness and the self-centeredness of it all, because, you know, on some level you're saying, here's something I made in my bedroom. I want you to pay to come and listen to me play it to your face in a venue, you know? And obviously people are getting something out of it, or in some cases they're getting something out of it, but it's a hard thing to wrangle sometimes, you know, when you have some existential crises and you're like, why the hell am I doing what I'm doing? But something like Rock by the Sea is great because the cause is an obvious, it's being funneled into something that is obviously objectively good, you know, and it's hard to argue with that. Whereas everything else is, you know, everything else is more confusing and chaotic. And this is just, it's just a hose, spraying a hose of goodness in the right direction.
Well, eight years in the last 10, you know, you could say you guys are definite Wrapped by the Sea, Keepers.
Yeah, you got it.
Speaking of Keepers, you want to talk a little bit about the new album?
Mark, what a segue.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
That's what he does. That's what he does.
Yeah, we just released a new record back in October, and it's called Keepers. Yeah, we're really, really excited about it.
Huge fan of Rude Awakening.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. That one turned out really nicely. We'll play that one. Play that one
and
for sure.
And we often talk about this. You know, we obviously, when people are going to the festival, so this will be our first year there. And so, like, you start to, like, really deep dive into bands and songs and such. And obviously, we listened to your music when you were at, before we went to Textified, so we could get prepared for it. And,
oh, right, yeah.
And, you know, this past week, I stumbled across the live version off of the Heartwood Soundstage album. The live performance, Water from the Well.
Oh, yeah.
What an amazing song. Whoa. Mine was blown. It's so
good. Thank you.
There's always something special about a live performance on an album as opposed to that song being played on other albums, per se, that's not live. It's just the acoustics to it is just so kudos to you guys for just making some badass music, man.
Thanks very much. Yeah, that Jimmy wrote that one. That one's like the first. We'd all kind of written songs growing up just for, you know, for ourselves or for other bands that we were in. But that was the first one that we put together many, many years ago as a trio. So that's kind of a staple for us. And so when we did that live thing, we knew we had to include that one. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. It's what's the creative process when you guys all sit around, and is there one person that just like takes the lead, or is it like collectively brought to the table by everybody, or?
Usually writing wise, we all write separately usually, and then we'll bring a song that's maybe half baked or three quarters baked to the group, and you know, like this verse doesn't feel right, like let's flesh this out. Or people bring different musical ideas, but a lot of it is three songwriters and we're bringing an idea and we flesh it out from there. But we're all very opinionated. So we've become good at letting each other know when something doesn't work, or when something isn't feeling like a Curry song necessarily. Over the podcast, we started a pandemic.
That's not this podcast. That's just kidding.
Yeah. Over the pandemic, we started our own podcast, and part of the impetus for it was bringing even more unformed ideas to each other. So we'll bring, if you just have like a little bit of an idea, we'll bring it and we'll show it to each other on the podcast and we'll talk through it and flesh it out. And on the Keepers album that we just released that you were talking about earlier, I think all those songs, or maybe all but one, were songs that were originally introduced in some form on the podcast. So that's become a new process for us. And it's fun because then you can get other people who listen, give feedback, or like, oh, I like that, you know, or someone just doesn't say anything about one, you know, you're like, maybe we won't include that one, you know? But that's been a good change to the process for us.
Nice. Is the podcast part of the Patreon? Cause I saw
it is. Yeah. That. Yeah.
That's
great.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So yeah, if you're listening, sign up for the Patreon.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, come that's, on board, you know, baby.
That's very cool.
And if you're listening and you somehow have not yet bought your tickets for Rock by the Sea, come on, let's get on that.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking for the kids. Come on.
Now, you guys being like, you know, very veterans of Rock by the Sea, do you feel like you have to set the tone for the event, you know?
Set the tone, you mean musically or among like
vibe-wise?
Vibe-wise? Like... Yeah, the thing about Rock by the Sea is when you first arrive, you have to find someone and just beat the crap out of them.
All right.
And you kind of establish a dominance. That's what we found. We didn't learn that a few years ago.
So we will be getting Hayes. That's the question I was trying to ask.
That's why we brought Danny.
Yeah, that's why you got your bodyguard. Exactly. You guys are going to need to stick in a little pack. It's going to be tough.
Management didn't tell us this. <I'm kidding.
laughs> Yeah, there are some things they leave out of the press. You know, they don't want it. You don't want to get out, but once that's you're great. In, you're in. I mean, you've done the blood transfusion with some of their members. Did they mention that at all? I don't know how much of this is public, but
they said pack a lot of Band-Aids. So I was like, all right, that's weird, okay.
That's probably what they were referring to then.
That's awesome. We are super excited to be able to hang out with you all again. And I know obviously everybody that's going there is super excited to see you guys there again. Again, it's to raise money for pediatric cancer. I would encourage everybody to go to rockbythesea.org and purchase tickets, donate. And again, you know, there's still some tickets left for cornhole, bingo, and I'm going to let you guys say the other one.
Euchre.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, do you know how to play euchre, Galen?
Yeah, I thought I did. I participated in the tournament last year, and I was paired up, and me and my partner were doing great. We were rolling. We got past the first round, doing really well. And then I'm still reeling from this. I made a pretty crucial error, and we lost to the owners of the bar. The owners of the venue, where we got matched up with them just coincidentally, and they steamrolled us. But it was mostly my fault, and I'm gonna take blame here publicly on the Boatcast podcast.
Well, that's cool. That makes two people on this podcast that have blown leads for said people. We were in a Flip Cup tournament on the Rock Boat, and
oh man,
an individual. He can mention it or not. I mean, take ownership.
You know, every now and then, someone. Royally chokes, and Mark just happened to be me. My hands started to.
Mark is very cool,
he got collected. The yips. He got the yips.
I got the
and
yips.
You could see it. It was palpable, and I was like, I've never seen him like this before. What's happening? He just couldn't. He couldn't do it. It was funny,
but
though.
But it was individual, so he wasn't actually dragging you guys down. He was just. It was his own demise. Is that right?
I was at the end there, and.
Oh, it was
a nice little lead.
It's a relay race.
A relay.
Yeah, ooh. Flip cup.
Meanwhile, the 12-year-old boy flipped it, drank his water, and I just couldn't do it.
They were allowing 12-year-old children to run the flip cup table? And
the Rock Boat is a different beast.
Okay, international waters, baby.
That's awesome. Well, I'm excited to hang out with you guys and get to see you again in person. I know we all are, and we're just super excited, man. And we're so thankful of your time and chatting with us tonight. 15 days.
Yeah. Couple weeks. Not too far away, is it? Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for making the time for me. And hopefully it's more likely we'll be sheltering from a hurricane than a tornado this time, but hopefully it doesn't come to that either.
Yeah, we're not wishing that into the... Yeah.
Not as many fireplaces in North Florida, you'll find.
Nope. Thanks, Galen. Thanks again, Galen. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, have a good night. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Safe travels.
Looking forward to it.
Peace. Thanks. Bye. You too.